Visit our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew.
Become friends with us on MySpace at MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade, as well as on Facebook. You can even find our Twitter accounts on our official homepage.
And don't forget to check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI for another side of news and review, including their own glorious podcast show.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 49, when life throws you a Jeffrey, go for the furry wall.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
Bastards and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade. I'm King Baby Duck.
I'm Blue Otic.
This is Amber.
And is it me, or does the summer just keep coming here earlier and earlier and earlier?
No, I don't think so. It keeps going back and forth. It's bipolar. Or it's like a woman on a period. It's really bad.
Very bad.
Thank you, New England. Thank you for being so fucked up.
But I do have to say, the last few days, you know, we've had some really awesome thunderstorms.
Yeah, but it's fucking crazy. And considering the fact that I get woken up by these things like 3 in the morning.
Yep. I actually went and sat on my roof and I tried to take pictures, but they didn't come out right.
Come on, that's the perfect time to be woken up. 3 fucking o'clock in the morning. Hell, I went to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning and woke up at 3 o'clock in the fucking morning after what? I closed my eyes for all of 2 seconds. I got 2 minutes of sleep and went boom! Damn!
I don't know, the other night I was working my overnight at work and I got to watch him, you know, from work. It was like, wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah, when I was sitting there at work, I thought I saw an FNX got fucking blown up.
FNX?
Yeah. You know, the towers down in Lynn?
Oh, WFNX.
FNX, yeah.
Yeah. The station that used to be good, but since they took the sandbox off the air, it just gone.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was going downhill anyways.
But anyways, as you can probably notice, our buddy Darkheart isn't here this week.
Son of a bitch.
But he was technically in the movie that we were going to be talking about later on. He had a small cameo in it.
Yes, very small.
Very, very small cameo. But before we get to that, I figured we'd let Anvil go first today, because we have got just a shit ton of sports to talk about.
Yeah, let's just say that we did toss-off and he won today.
Well, thank you, Mr. Duck, Mr. Blue.
Kiss
I do
my
appreciate
ass.
This. I have a woman that, you know, has this really cool thing that she wants to show you to do with your ass.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
She wants you talking to her fur phone.
No!
Fur phone?
Fur phone. So,
the microfur phone. Oh, damn. Oh, man, I'm going to puke.
UCLA legend coach Wooten passed away yesterday. It's such a tragic loss for the game of basketball. 10 NCAA championships. And he was a guy that didn't believe in showmanship. He was a guy that dunks didn't happen. You didn't take those good shots. He was a bank shot coach. He'd actually rip you a new one if you didn't bank that ball in. And he did it. And when, you know, a lot of guys went pro, they'd be like, hey, let's do the Wooten. And boom. That play became known as the Wooten. And a lot of guys spoke for him like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So.
Guys, he got his ass whipped day and night.
Yes.
Into the basketball player of the dreams.
So.
And how old was he?
99.
Almost 100.
Just shy of 100.
That's a good long life.
Yes, it is. You know, I'm very happy about that. You know, I mean, I'm not happy that he's gone, but I'm happy he got to live a life, because unfortunately we see way too often people dying in their 50s, 60s, and even earlier.
Yeah, like remember when Reggie Lewis died? Oh my god, that was just horrible.
Well, we had Gaines Adams die this year.
Mm-hmm.
And he was only in his early 20s. And these are, you know, people at the top peak of perfection, you know, the way they work out, the way they train. And when your time's up, your time's up. So
that fucking happens.
But let's move into some a little bit of fun.
Sports.
So last night, me and Mr. Blue, we decided we were going to watch the Red Sox play. And he loved making fun of the Baltimore Orioles because their manager, Dave Tremblay, looks just like William Shatner.
William Shatner.
You must go and hit the baseball as fast as you can.
Yeah, but that didn't happen last night.
Because he got fired before yesterday's game because his team sucks.
Wait, so now who was that guy who was talking up on the screen that couldn't speak a fucking lick of English?
Oh, Manny Sinwal.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the third base coach that they turned into their new hitting, manager.
Really, the guy could not speak really like English.
I play good baseball.
Exactly. It was almost like that.
It was like, what's his name? The guy for Chicago Cubs. Sammy Sosa.
Sosa, yeah.
Well, at least he has the respect of his players. He played 12 years pro, 3-time All-Star. So he has the respect. Dave Tremblay never even played pro. So Blue was, upset about it, but we kicked back and we started watching the game. Clay Buchholz was pitching against Tillman, some young pitcher for them, and final score comes out to be 100 million to nothing.
You mean 10 to nothing?
Oh, 11 to nothing. But 100 million, it could have been 100 million. But it was a good game.
They got their ass whipped.
I hate to see a team do this badly, so I actually hope the Orioles can change it around. Wait. Maybe they could change it around against the Yankees.
Wasn't it something about them saying, going back in history, one of their worst scoring setups was like 2.8-something, and they were just below it by a .001?
Yeah, they actually broke like the worst record in baseball for producing runs and stuff. They're horrible. So
garbage.
We'll see what happens with that. Since we were here last week, The NBA Finals started, and the Celtics lost the first game.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, shit flows downhill.
Well, hey, it's only one game.
Hey! Why is it so fucking long until the next game? I mean, Thursday to fucking Sunday?
I know. I don't know.
What is up with this shit?
We'll see what happens.
Are you flying to the other city?
No. Both games are in L.A., and then they'll take a day off and come here. So I don't understand it. But we'll figure it out.
I think it's because Kobe Bryant needs some more alone time in a certain hotel room.
In the corner.
Well,
jerking off, doing nothing.
Unfortunately, there's some controversy now over this game. Because Paul Gasol badmouthed KG. Dude, basically saying he's too old and he lost his steps.
Some of the shit that was going on in that game, especially when I got to watch the highlights and the after fact. Dude, a lot of it looked like I think I could actually step in and call rape or something along the lines because it was sexual harassment.
Oh,
he grabbed his junk.
Yeah. So we'll figure that out. Now, I do want to jump back to baseball for a minute. I know the Duck sent it to me. By the time I got this from him, we were already talking about this at work. We had seen this play 100 times.
And you gotta feel bad for the pitcher. You have to feel bad for him.
Actually,
if you don't feel bad for this guy, you're a total asshole.
Am I a total asshole? I don't feel bad for him at all.
Do you know who I feel bad for worse? The umpire.
What?
The umpire admitted he made a mistake. He said to him, it looked at when he saw the replay, he knew he kicked shit all over this kid. He's like, I blew it. He's like, in my long career, he's been an umpire since 1989. And he's made this one mistake. He apologized. Him and the pitcher shook hands the next day, and he actually had tears in his eyes.
He gave him a nice big hug and was like, I'm so sorry.
Right. Now, for people that don't understand what we're talking about, the other night, the Detroit Lions...
Detroit Tigers!
I had to make that joke. I had to. I'm sorry.
Well, Detroit just has bad teams, period.
Exactly.
Why Tigers and Lions?
I know.
Why not Bears?
Oh, my!
Fuck you on that one.
That should have been the best. Instead of the Detroit Pistons, it should have the Detroit Bears, but whatever. So, the Tigers took on the Cleveland Indians. Starting pitcher for the Detroit Tigers, Armando Galarraga. This is a man who's known as a non-factor pitcher. He's not that good. Or so they thought. Ninth inning, two outs, and all of a sudden you realize... He's one out away from a perfect game. The ball is struck towards in between first and second base. First baseman Miguel Cabrera runs for the ball. Armando Galarraga goes, foot on first base, catches the ball. He's, oh! Wait. Umpire Jim Joyce calls safe. Now, if I was a pitcher, I'd rip this umpire a new one. Do you know what Galarraga does? He goes from celebrating, to looking at him, to a smile, and walks back to the pitcher's mound. That is sportsmanship. That is a man right there. He says, why yell? Let me go finish this game. Gets the very next guy up. It's all over with. Jim Joyce goes back, looks at it, and he realizes, I fucked up. And he goes right out in front of a camera and says, this kid poured his heart out, and I kicked shit all over. I kicked shit all over. That's his exact words. This man felt bad. A petition was put into Bud Selig, the commissioner of baseball, by the Detroit Tigers and Jim Joyce himself. Bud Selig says, I will not reverse it.
Boom!
Because he likes to jerk off on everybody's fucking
because,
dreams.
Well, like they said, by reversing it, it takes, you know, that means every time some guy's called out, they'd have to reverse it. Leave it there. I believe that they should leave it the way it is. And I believe Armando Galarraga will become more famous for not throwing that perfect game now.
Well, what about this whole instant replay shit? I mean, don't we
have need
that?
Something like that.
We have it for home runs only. Now, because of this, we might get it on close calls.
They're going to finally sanction it?
They'll finally do
for
it the way they should.
For fuck's sake, man. Because, I mean, how many times have we been watching the actual game on TV?
And we'll scream.
And we'll be like, dude, all right, even though it's the other team against the Red Sox, that was a fucking, he was safe, or he was out, or he was this, and we're like, holy fuck.
The group of us, we may be Red Sox fans, we may be Pats fans, we may be Celtics fans, we may be Bruins fans.
But we still have respect for the other teams.
But we're still sportsmen.
Yeah.
Right.
We all played sports in some way, shape, or form in this group.
Mm-hmm.
And to us, you want the game fair. Because if I'm playing in a baseball game, actually, I'm going to use football right now. Let's say I'm playing for a championship game, and this kid, you know, he scores. But they call it a fumble. I'm a man that I want to, you know, I would not feel right wearing that ring on my hand knowing that a referee made a bad call and I earned a ring because of a bad call. That's not, I guarantee you guys, the two of you right now, if that ever happened, that ring will stay in a jar. You got, I'll
yeah.
display it, but I'll never wear it because it won't mean nothing to me.
Right. It would be like, I got this for a mistake.
I mean,
yeah, to be like that on somebody else's shortcomings, fuck that.
But like, if it happens in the first quarter and the kid, you know, looks in, they make a bad call, it's not like a touchdown, you don't feel bad. But if it's a game-winning touchdown and they make the bad call, you feel it.
Yeah.
So
fucked up.
Hopefully, Armando Galarraga can actually come back and pitch another good game like that. Because as long as I've been watching him pitch, because I used to think he was a really good pitcher, he hasn't done that well lately, and I'd love to see more from him. He's one of those guys that when he plays sports, it actually comes from his heart. And I do appreciate that from an athlete. So, Jim Joyce, people should forgive him because, like they say, to err is human, to forgive is divine.
I thought it was to err is to human.
Either way.
Same thing.
We're bastards, we don't give a shit.
So he's a human being. If he thinks he saw something, that's what he thought he saw. I mean, I know we've all made mistakes in seeing something.
Yeah.
All too many. I fucked up.
So, it happens. Let him be. Mm-hmm. Stop booing this man. And let him go back to being an ump. So, on that note, I'm going to step away from that aspect. And let's go to a little bit of fun that we had last week.
Yay!
Last week was UFC 14.
Yoo!
Oh, sorry, 114. But, it's one of those days. And the biggest fight of the night was Sugar, Rashad Evans versus Quentin Rampage Jackson. But the sad part is, that wasn't what I consider one of the best fights.
Please say Hamburger Man.
Hamburger Man.
Hamburger.
Hamburger.
All right. So yes, Mr. Hamburger Meat. But I'm going to start with another fight first. Diego Sanchez fought John Hathaway. Alright, John Hathaway wins by unanimous decision. That was a surprise to me. I thought I would win with Diego Sanchez. Well, you can't win them all.
Yeah.
But I think the best, one of my favorite fights of the night had to have been Todd Duffy versus Mike Hamburger Meat Russo.
Hamburger!
All right. Todd Duffy is supposed to be the new knockout king coming up.
Yeah.
And he fights on big old blubbery Mike Russo. And I mean, he's landing shots in his jaw that should knock him the fuck out. Russo's eating them like they're nothing. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, Russo throws this beautiful-looking haymaker. It's Duffy in the jaw, and he drops.
Well, no, he tagged him twice, too, when he was going down. That was the fucked-up thing. It looked like he knew what he was doing. He tagged him once, and then he was going back. Tagged him the second time while halfway going down, and tagged him one more time for good measures, and the referee called it.
Well, no. That last one was a slap in the face.
Yeah, like, that was just like, that was bitch. A little like, that was just a tap in the face like, gotcha, bitch. But yeah, that was third round, dude. That was like, there was like 2 or 3 minutes left or something like that. It was a really fucking weird fight, too. But it was, you know, that was the actual awesome thing. There was actually really good fights leading up to the card.
Mm-hmm.
The main attraction.
Although, one thing I was surprised about this whole card was, even though it was a pay-per-view event, there was not a single title fight.
Well, that happens a lot. I mean, more or less, you can't have a fucking title fight every pay-per-view, but...
Well,
because you gotta go through tournament styles.
When you look at it through, like... I know it's, you know, predetermined and everything, but when you look at pro... At least, like, a pro wrestling pay-per-view, there's always at least, like, 3 title fights there.
Well, that's because it's a totally different thing. I mean, what it is a lot of these guys that have titles and stuff like that, there's only so many classes that have the titles.
Yeah, each class has one title.
One title per, you know, setup. It's not like they have Eastern, Western, you know, kind of set up conferences or something like that, and then they all come together in one big clusterfuck of a title fight.
Unlike wrestling, you know, where there's a bunch of titles and anybody can win that title. You don't have to be a skinny dude, you know, just to have the light heavyweight or, you know, whatever it is. You can go for the, you know, heavyweight championship. But,
I mean, because originally, like, when UFC came out, there wasn't really any, like, title fight, like, so to say. It was, like, these guys would come in and fight three fights in a row a night. Like, literally, like, you know, anything that they came off the street, basically. Dude, you'd have guys in those goddamn fucking jumpsuits. You'd have guys actually in karate get-ups
with
the gis and... It was fucking insane, and people would be using shoes, too. This is how crazy it used to be.
And then
fucking Dana White came in and said, you know what, we're going to have to sanction this correctly, otherwise there's not going to be any other places that will take this because it seems like just an all-out ball, bar brawl.
You can badmouth Dana White all you want, but he made the sport what it is.
Yeah, but yeah. I think he could have left some kind of old classic taste to it. I mean, you know, there's got to be some kind of brawl set up. It's not like these people who have actually fight all day long. I like the whole gladiatorism. I like that whole setup, like how it used to be back in the days, you know, even with boxing. Boxing had a setup where, you know, these guys would work on the fucking line day in, day out, and then they'd go out and go and fight. I mean, that was the whole setup that it was in. It was pretty insane that way. I mean, these guys are getting paid now to go and work out day in, day out, and some of them are just whiny fucking bitches.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't stand that fucking factor because of the fact that they don't understand how it used to be. Like, I mean, yeah, some of them have tough lives, they have their kids, they're fighting for their kids, basically, to make the money.
Right.
But sometimes it's just like, they really need to fucking see what the fuck's going on. They get a true workout doing the old day stuff.
I'm still a fan of the original UFC Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
Randy the Natural Couture, Chuck the Iceman Liddell, they're still fighting, and they're original guys.
Mm-hmm.
These guys have helped make this sport.
We got the world's most dangerous man, Ken Shamrock. And then you also have his brother Frank as well.
Yeah, Frank really didn't fight over in UFC. He was more of an Asian fighter.
Yeah, he was over at, like, Pride Fighting, more or less. Yeah. Pride Fighting is pretty... That was pretty crazy.
There's a guy that you might remember, because you're a wrestling fan, Duck. Dan the Beast Severn.
Yep, Dan Severn.
He is a UFC Hall of Famer.
In fact, there once was, like, a bit of a rivalry between Ken Shamrock and Dan Severn in the WWF.
That's back when they were actually, you know, cage fighters.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. That's the whole thing about that is I think, like, take Brock Lesnar. I think he's got the muscles. He's got the mass and everything like that. It's like, great. You could go and show that off, go into the fucking wrestling ring and go and toss people around and, like, fucking ragdolls and shit, but it's not as fucking real as beating the shit out of somebody and knocking them the fuck out.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's what I think that a lot of these guys should really actually be doing, not this whole fucking selling plastic and shit.
And you know what? And I was surprised that the pro wrestler Steve Blackman never got into UFC or MMA, considering his fighting style.
Yeah.
I figured that he would have been amazing in the octagon.
Yeah, well, he's dead now, so.
Oh, he's not.
Yeah, heart attack.
Steve Blackman? No way.
But let's keep on moving real quick.
Actually,
like you were saying, with the whole title, July 3rd, Brock Lesnar will be fighting Shane Carwin for the heavyweight title.
He's not dead.
Okay, whatever. That's Wikipedia. Whatever. Can't always trust Wikipedia. Anyways.
He died like last year or something. Somebody was telling me, but...
Nope, it's not. He said he's retired and he's made recent appearances on Larry King Live.
Who gives a shit? Abram. Fuck it, let's go.
Alright. Just wanted to make a correction just in case.
Fuck corrections. It's about Smash Brigade.
So, there are two brothers who have actually made this sport creepy. One's a light heavyweight and one's a heavyweight.
Okay, let's figure this one out.
And they have the same name.
Oh, god damn it.
There's Antonio Minotauro Nogueira.
Nogueira.
And Antonio Ruggiero Nogueira, or Little Nog and Big Nog.
Yeah, because apparently the fucking parents couldn't figure out what to name the kids.
So they just give them the same name, different middle names.
Mm-hmm.
So that night we saw Little Nog. And for those who just weren't paying attention, I will suffer through saying his name one more time. Please pay attention. Antonio Ruggiero Nogueira took on Jason Brills.
Yeah, fucked up.
Now, Jason Brills was a no-name fighter, basically.
Yeah, but I think this just made it.
He basically picked up the fight 4 weeks before it was supposed to happen.
Poor bastard.
Because Little Nog was supposed to fight somebody else. They had to pull out. Actually, he had to fight Forrest Griffin, but Forrest Griffin was injured, so...
Pussy.
He had to pull out. No, he actually suffered an injury.
Pussy.
And Jason Brills gave Little Nog one hell of a fight, and Little Nog won by split decision.
Which means
two out of the three referees went for him.
Mm-hmm.
So I call that, well, a good one.
Yeah, but I was surprised that people were booing Nogueira afterwards.
Well,
long fucking story.
Yeah, we don't have enough time for me to discuss that one. We'll explain to you later, then.
Okay.
So then we saw the Brit fight.
Yay!
Yes. Brit.
Michael the Count Bisping.
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 Fought Dan Miller.
Didn't Bisping come out to Song 2 by Blur?
I don't
yeah.
know, probably.
Yeah,
he did, actually.
Uh-huh. And then the other guy come out to that song Walk Hard by Dewey Cox.
Yeah, he did.
Hard.
Like, especially sitting there listening to the surround sound, I was just like, what the fuck was this guy thinking?
So... the fight went on, and Bisping was his normal dominant self. But unfortunately, it went to a unanimous decision for Michael Bisping.
Surprisingly.
The only fight that we saw this night that didn't get ended early was Slab of Beef versus Hamburger Meat.
Hamburger!
Yeah, everything else was decision.
Now, the main fight of the night, I think, should have been called earlier.
Mm.
Which is Quentin Rampage Jackson versus Sugar Rashad Evans. Main event, these two hate each other.
For the last 4 years.
So, it gets dragged down, and they're fighting, and... yeah, Rashad owned the first one, and the second, pretty much. You know, he did get more hits. Third one, I thought it should have been called. Rampage got Rashad on the ground, and he's pounded him. It's about to be called, and all of a sudden, an arm just moves, and he doesn't get called.
Mm-hmm.
Fight ends, and goes to... decision, they want to fight again. I want to see this fight again.
Same here, I agree.
But I just hope it's not another goddamn 4 years.
I know.
Maybe it'd be next year.
And I, you know what? I have a theory behind the basis that Rampage lost.
Okay.
And I feel that it's along the lines of why shit's been happening to a lot of these great fighters. And my idea is it's fucking Hollywood. Hollywood has been fucking over MMA. And more or less, just because of the fact that a lot of these good fighters, like, let's say Kung Lee, when he came back from Pandorum, he lost his fight. And he hadn't lost a fight, I don't think, ever. Along with, like, Gina Carano. Gina Carano, she came back and she lost to Chris Cyborg after doing some kind of type Hollywood stuff.
I still think Cyborg's a man.
Yeah,
Cyborg. I still think that she cheated and was actually digging into her.
Yeah, well, there was fucking scrapes and cuts on her face, oh, yeah. Which is bullshit.
And the bell did ring before she was called out, but whatever. Now, for the next 3 weeks, we actually have MMA.
But, but let's put it this way. We've got Quinn Rampage Jackson, who just did 18.
And Sergeant Bosco B.A. Baracus.
Yeah, but he also did a fight in between, right? He won that one, right?
Yes. Yes.
But let's say, seeing that he came back like this, I think it was kind of like a ruse because of the fact that when you saw the commercialization on the shorts of fucking Sugar there, he had fucking Expendables on his ass side.
Yeah.
So it was kind of funny, like...
Because didn't he have, like, a small role in the Expendables?
No. I don't believe so. But I think it was just funny because of the fact that, you know, you've got the Expendables versus the A-Team, you know, / the losers, so...
We'll see. Mm-hmm. The Expendables was actually a sponsor of the night. It was actually on the ring. A few other fighters had it, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see how that goes. Now, we got some fights coming up the next few weeks. Next week is UFC.
UFC!
Which is Chuck Liddell versus Rich Franklin. And, there's another big fight that night, too. And I can't remember off the top of my head. But it's okay. Because all you have to remember is Chuck Liddell's fighting.
Yeah.
And then June 26th is... Wait, what's next week? Stay.
We do the 12th, the 26th.
Yep, the 12th, the 26th is Strikeforce.
I believe the 10th and the 24th is July.
No.
Would it be the 3rd then?
Yeah. It's Fedor, The Last Emperor, versus Wordham. And then Kung Lee also fights again for Strikeforce on the 26th.
Oh, right, you're trying to put that one in there too.
And then July 3rd is Brock Lesnar versus Shane Carwin. To unify the heavyweight title.
What do you mean, unify the heavyweight title?
Brock Lesnar, where he almost died from those injuries, you know, being sick and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody needs to hold the heavyweight title while they're there. So Shane Carwin fought for the interim title. So technically he has it, but it's not his. So they have to fight each other to unify it. So whoever wins comes away with the title.
Seeing that Brock Lesnar hasn't been in a ring for almost a year now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he's still going to be 100%? Do you think he's going to be 100% when he walks into there?
I say he's been training more because Shane Carwin fought not too long ago, and Brock Lesnar hasn't fought. He got better. He started training hard. So,
plus he's a fucking wall of muscle.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm leaning more towards Brock Lesnar winning that one. But yep. That's just what if it's sports.
Okay.
All right. Movies.
Movies. Let's talk about the film that we just went and saw, Get Him to the Greeks, starring Russell Brand as Aldous Snow, and then Jonah Hill as, well, what was
Aaron
Jonah?
Green.
Aaron Green, thank you. And featuring Sean P. Diddy Combs.
No, it's not P. Diddy anymore.
It's Diddy, right, Diddy.
I think it's Diddy, I don't know, but actually at the end of the titles it actually didn't have that, it was just Sean Combs.
Okay. Sean, whatever nickname he has this week, Combs.
Yeah.
As the record executive.
The fucking crazy record executive.
The very fucking crazy record executive. The surprisingly funny record executive. Like, I couldn't believe how funny Sean Combs was in this movie. Yeah, I mean, in my own head.
Alright, well, this is what was going on. Was that when he drank the absinthe?
Yeah.
Yeah, what it was is the rock star went and said, "Did you ever drink absinthe from the 1900s? No, I don't think so." He's like, "Here, just take a shot, and then we'll go back and sleep." And yeah, they didn't go back and sleep. He went through the whole fucking crazy
party
mode that, you know, what was going on there.
And anyways, it had that Happy Together song that the Flobots covered last year, but in French.
Yeah. Well, let's just get to the plot line of the actual story. The idea of the story was it went from, you know, him with his girlfriend. Yeah, girlfriend, more or less.
Yeah. The doctor.
Doctor slash nurse or something like that, that's an intern. And she basically was running around on, like, 24/7. They had kind of a cute little thing at the starting with them, like, he's like, oh, well, I could still sleep with you. We could do make our own, like, little porno video or something like that.
I've always wanted to have sex with the Lone Ranger.
Yeah, exactly, because she put a little, like, the black things over her eyes so she could sleep for, what, not even 5 hours and then work.
Yeah.
But then he goes to work, and I guess he missed, like, an awesome party or some shit. Then they
It was a Jay-Z after party.
Yeah, but then they went to the office because they actually cut out a lot of shit from the actual commercials from that actual thing. Remember the flush tone part?
Yeah, the flush tone.
And the Mexican Jonas Brothers, can't forget about those guys.
Yeah, what the fuck?
I wanted the Mexican Jonas Brothers.
But then they went through, like, there was a lot of stuff that I was expecting to be on the actual movie, but didn't actually end up from that. But it gets to the point where they're trying to, like, go, you know, hey, let's figure out something to make money because the music industry is going down the shitter. He's like, but at least I have all my other side businesses and stuff like that, and you guys don't have anything, so you're going to end in the fucking gutter, basically.
Right.
I got 6 kids. You know how many Air Jordans 6 black kids wear?
I want to go back. I really want to see the Mexican Jonas Brothers. Yo, Guido. Yo, Guido. Mari Sara Slut. Mari Sara Slut. She made her way around the tour bus. Okay, I'm done.
What the fuck was that?
I'm speechless.
For the Mexican Jonas Brothers.
Oh, shit.
You look like you ate the Mexican Jonas Brothers.
Hey,
I didn't know Godzilla went to Mexico. Gosh, kidding.
Hey, it's all right, because he looks like he ate Paris Hilton.
Moving on.
Yeah, moving on. It gets to the point where he needs to get... what is it again? Aldous
Snow.
To the Greek theater because they're doing a 10-year anniversary. And of course, it gets to the point where he gets over to England and he has 72 hours. But of course, the timer thing was fucking me up. I don't know if he was telling me the time in, like, military mode or... I just was fucking confused.
Going back to Aldous Snow, he was originally this really, really, really huge artist. And then he recorded this one album called African Child.
Now, let's just put it this way. Before that album, he was fucked up, drugs, everything, alcohol, all that other shit. Then he got sober for the 7-year span, and he did this album. What was it called again?
African Child.
Yes, African Child.
And they said, and the reviews were basically like this. Number 3... is African Child. Number 2 is famine, and number 1 is war. These are the 3 reasons why Africa is such in a shithole.
And then, of course, there was the whole conference where they were, like, actually talking on TV and said, it's like, were you drinking? You know, they were talking to each other and got to the point where it got into a full-out fight. He's like, do you want me to, you know, bang her missionary style while snorting lines off her forehead? I'll do it! I'll fucking do it! So, yeah, that one was kind of fucking crazy because it really showed the aspect that Hollywood, you know, not Hollywood, but I mean, like, the music industry can really fuck people's lives up.
Well, especially after seeing that music video that he does where he gives birth to the African baby.
No! Yeah, that was true. He gave birth to the African baby, and then he stuck it on his nipple.
Yeah. I do want to say one thing, though. Couple of the songs that, you know, you would have seen that he does in this movie.
They were great. I liked the clap song.
Now, did Russell Brand really sing
those? Yep, he sang all of those songs.
Are those on, like, the new CDs supposed to come out with or something?
Yeah, on the Get Him to the Greek soundtrack. And a couple of them are on the Forgetting Sarah Marshall soundtrack.
Oh, shit.
I knew he sounded familiar.
Why?
Aldous Snow was...
Yeah. Yeah, this was a spinoff movie.
I wish I knew that. Now I feel retarded.
With that whole setup going on with, you know, that, what was it? He got over to England, he was trying to get him to go there, but they were trying to do the 12 a.m. flight, and it ended up getting all fucked up and did the 6 a.m. flight.
Yeah.
Of course, Combs got pissed.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to go do the whole, what was it, Good Morning America, or not?
Yeah.
No, it was Today's Show. Because it was Meredith Vera.
I'm sorry, there's too many fucking morning fucking talk shows. But anyways, but with dealing with that one, it was hilarious because our main character kept getting fucked up, literally, every sense, every way, because it just seemed like his life was going down the shitter, because he had a fight with his girlfriend when he left. Yeah, he got laid a lot, and even on parts where he didn't want to get laid. I think the line ended up with, dude, I think I got raped. So,
Yeah,
let's just leave it at that part.
He dealt with what is the technical term of a male fucker. Now, for those of you who don't know what that means, it's when, to put it bluntly, where a woman, sometimes attractive, sometimes not, will actually be the one to,
strap on dilly dong and in the ass.
Yep, basically. So for those that are going on internet pornography sites and it says male fucker, do not click it. Please do not click it.
Unless you're in that sort of category.
But we have warned you. When it says male fucker, it just doesn't mean it's a woman fucking a guy. It is. But it's not in that good context.
And also, I guess since we're warning you about porn, if you go to porn and it says, play Donkey Kong, don't go either.
Huh?
Then the other idea there, the album, the anal bomb cover. it was one of my greatest defeats of not being able to create that. I think I would have made a fortune. Especially for all those prison inmates, too. Sell it to the state, there wouldn't be any butt sex needed. Unless they wanted it. So, with this whole setup, they did a great job with the movie, but I felt there was, you know, that dry toast part where it was like almost 3 days old.
Yeah.
It was just like, okay, why do we need to know this? Can we move on, you know? But I mean, a lot of the stuff was, it kind of gave a life to the actual musician, because it's like,
yeah.
Hey, he's got a mom, he's got a dad, but the mom and dad are all completely fucked up in the head.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when they smoke the Jeffrey.
Yep, Jeffrey. Why is it called Jeffrey? Well, have you ever met a bad person named Jeffrey before? Jeffrey, I just moved down next door.
I don't know, they said the only thing was Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah. But yeah, let's just go through the line of drugs that were laced in there. He's like,
there's marijuana and crystal meth and angel dust and lots of hemp.
Yeah, they
don't forget your heroin and don't forget the ecstasy.
Yeah.
And some of that cocaine goes down fast.
And then you just take the crack, mix it all together, and roll it up.
And then you fall right on your ass. Hey!
Well, let's just put it this way. The fucking main character thought he was having a heart attack.
We weren't done with the song.
Yes, we are.
I think we are.
When you're done, you look for something furry to rub.
Thank you. Go for the vagina. Anyways,
But yeah, as long as this vagina doesn't have her, bush shaped as a microphone.
Yeah, is this thing on?
What's it called? Harry-oke?
Yeah. Harry-oke. Let's just put it this way. It got to the point where he was so fucked up because he thought he was suffering a heart attack. So he told him to go up to the furry wall and start touching it. So he started, like, groping the furry wall and going, okay, I think I'm feeling better. And then he's like, you know what the fucked up thing about it is? It comes right back again. Oh my god, my heart!
Although, when I saw the furry wall, I can think of was, have you ever seen the music video for, I believe, in a thing called Love by the Darkness?
Yes. The one that I can think of was MTV Cribs' Tommy Lee's house, where he had, like, the pink fur wall and stuff like that, where he said he loves to just go in there and go, oh. And I was like, oh, dude, he's been smoking Jeffries this whole time.
Although, you do have to admit, those fuzzy walls do look nice and comfy.
All I can remember was one of my ex-girlfriends used to have one of the big furry rugs.
you're not talking to... Oh, yes, you are talking about... But that's a totally different type of furry rug right then and there.
No,
the actual fur rug. Not that fur rug.
Ew! That's disturbing. No, it was one of those big ones, but it actually had like a polar bear's head on it to make it look real.
Oh. Interesting. But I thought it was fair. Interesting. Was it a real polar bear hair or head, or was it fake?
It was a stuffed one.
Yeah, okay.
She wound up taking it off because it was weird.
It was scaring the children.
Yeah, I don't want to really see that. But, you know what? Fuck it. Let's rate this goddamn movie.
Well, before I forget...
Let's rate it.
No. I want to ask you something. Did any of you feel like, when they saw Aldous Snow, that Scott Whelan came to mind?
Yeah.
From Stone Temple Pilots.
Yes.
How he's been all drugged up, then sober, then drugged up, and then becomes sober again like he is right now.
Yes.
Yeah, but I hope he doesn't fall back into it. I think he's really good now.
I think
he should stay that way. Stone Temple Pilots is kind of back now, and it's kind
of
good.
Yeah, from what I've heard of their recent album, it's pretty kick-ass. But you do make the point of there being some dry toast.
I'm sorry, I left it in the toaster too long while we were watching the movie.
For three fucking days! Three fucking days!
Sorry.
So, although there was some good dry toast, but then there was some dull dry toast. So because of the really, really, really slow moments of this movie, I'll give it one thumb up and the thumb sideways.
Alright, what about you, Andal?
I'm only going to give it one thumb up, because I was really upset with this movie. Because the one scene I was really, 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 really looking forward to wasn't in here.
The motorist scene?
I am motorist. I really wanted to see that.
I'm a motorist, so, you know, kind of thing. But I think when this DVD comes out, I think when they do the uncut or unedited version, there's probably going to be so much shit in this movie.
I'm going to tell you guys right now that when I buy it, I will spend 3 hours just watching that scene over.
I'm a motorist. I am a motorist. I am a motorist.
And they'll come to my house and pick me up, and I'm sitting in a, you know, giant power wheels with a ball of alcohol. I am not that. And I'm so doing it back, and he does, and then I do it.
People are just gonna go, "What the fuck is wrong with this guy?"
It's like, after he says it was rewinding, I say it and start it again. It's like, Anvil?
Is there Look, he wrong? Brainwashed himself. What a fucking idiot.
He's brainwashed. Brainwashed him.
And then for the next month, I have a British accent.
Oh, shit.
Oh, anyways. I did like that joke. It was like with Lars Ulrich in there. Your mom sounds like a Monty Python joke.
Alright, so I'll give my little thing one thumb up easily, but yeah, mine's is still kind of like, actually, instead of turning sideways, it's turned more towards the down 3/4 instead of the up 3/4, because it was kind of like, god damn it, this is long, but there are some funny parts in it, so yeah. I have to give it to it. So.
And you know what? If Russell Brand got permission from, you know, Nicholas Stroller and Jason Segel, who created these characters, and actually went out to see perform live as Aldous Snow in Infinite Sorrow, I would actually go and see it.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a fun show.
As long as he doesn't try to give a backstory while he's up on the stage. Oh yes, this one time, Mommy and Daddy, you know, I just don't need that. I don't think I could stand that. I'd just be like, just fucking say it.
I'm going to tell you guys right now that if he does come to Boston and his fiance's with him, I'm so going for his fiance.
I know, Katy Perry. You know, Nanya is upset that he has taken Katy Perry from her.
I actually recently heard her new song, and I actually like it.
Wait, so she finally has a new song. It's not I Kissed a Girl Again.
No, it's called California Girl, and she does it with Snoop Dogg.
That's right.
And the line that one of my coworkers has stuck in my head, goes, California girls were so unforgettable. Daisy Dukes with bikinis on top. Sun-kissed skin so hot will melt a popsicle. And she is so sexy saying it. And yeah, she did with Snoop Down Diggity Dog. No blue.
Question.
No
blue. Question. No. No, you know what? Excellent statement. Statement.
No.
Statement.
Oh. Let him say it. The king.
White boy should not fucking say or sing rap. Stop that.
She's not chanting rap, she actually sang it.
And she's a girl, not a boy.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe you shouldn't say it. Because it was horrible.
Ice, baby.
Oh, no.
He's not Eminem. He's not Mike Skinner.
He's not fucking Vanilla Ice.
He's not, he's not any of the Beastie Boys.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, buddy. I think you said that you were on that metal band one time.
Yeah.
I think you'd stick with that.
And I'm coming by your soul and we get you now.
No, okay, no. Alright, anyways. We're done? Are we done with that?
I think we're done with that.
I can't do that anymore.
Good.
Well, so far, the Mac hasn't shut down again because, okay, while we were recording a sports segment of this show, and for some reason, I don't know why, the Mac decided to
freeze on us.
Yeah, freeze, like, which I thought the Macs aren't supposed to do.
Maybe the
because they're a fucking lie.
Well, actually, maybe the Mac was a friend of Todd Duffy because I was making fun of him at that point when I froze up.
Oh no.
All right, well, anyways, what are we going on to next?
Let's talk video games.
I don't want to talk video games.
Ooh, shut the fuck up, we're going to corner that.
And I purchased Super Mario Galaxy 2, the sequel to the popular Super Mario Galaxy. You know, before I bought the game, I was kind of iffy on it because usually they don't, you know, Super Mario doesn't do, like, sequels of, I'm trying to think of the best way to say
it. Seriously? Because how many Marios were there?
I know, but what I mean is, it doesn't go Super Mario Galaxy, Super Mario Galaxy 2. It would probably go into some, like, Super Mario Universe, or Super Mario Nebula, or Super Mario something. No, it goes right back into Galaxy 2.
Yeah, well, Galaxies is a huge bitch.
And on top of that, it's a sequel on the same system.
Maybe you're lucky and it might come to Universe at some point.
Perhaps.
But that's going to be a huge bitch. You know how many fucking levels they're going to have to create? That's a huge bitch. Mm-hmm. They might actually have to do 2 fucking CDs, maybe even 3.
I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah, okay. Oh shit, I fucking jumped to the next disc. I gotta go jump back. Fuck!
Please hold it next disc, douchebag.
But what we have here is... King Bowser has grown to an enormous size, kidnapped the princess again, and has jumped up into outer space to, quote-unquote, create his own kingdom in the center of the universe. Now, first and foremost, the center of the universe is the sun, so once he got there, wouldn't he, like, burn to death?
Yes, because this isn't that fucking whole... Oh, crap, he's got a question.
When are they going to finally change up the bad guy from Bowser? Bowser's been the bad guy for over 20 years.
You know, I've always thought of that myself. Like, you know, it's been 25 years since the first Super Mario game came out. You would think that Bowser would just give up and make a Match.com, like, account and, like, try for serious dating, not for the kidnapping.
Or at least give us Bowser's kid.
Yeah, Bowser Jr., because he shows up in Super Mario Galaxy 2. But he doesn't really do much. He has other people do his dirty work. Where I am right now, I haven't gotten to a point where he himself is going to be the one that's fighting.
Oh, that's kind of awesome. I started talking about him in this new one that I didn't even know because I don't play video games.
Yeah. Hello! You got Kid Bowser. But what I liked about Super Paper Mario was that there was a completely different villain in there. You still had Bowser, but Bowser actually helped you in this game.
Well, what about the whole concept of Wario? And
Wario has become... Well, you know what? Wario and Daisy? I wouldn't mind seeing a video game like that.
Well, when I was a kid, I used to be a Wario fan more than Mario.
Yeah, have Mario and Peach versus Wario and Daisy.
Oh, man, that'd be crazy.
Combine Super Mario Brothers with Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
Yeah. Nah. I don't think Treyarch or Infinity Ward would like that.
Well, no, they wouldn't do it, but that'd be kind of cool. Have the characters dressed in camo with, you know, automatic weapons and stuff.
Mm-hmm. I think I like that new commercial that's making fun of the Mario Kart racing.
Yeah.
With Blur.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, wait, yay, I'm racing. Hey, what's that over there? And the cars are flying by, blowing shit up, and all the other fun stuff. And
it's not, game's not like, about winning. Oh, shut up.
It's about friendship. Shut up, Pinky. Yeah.
But the way that Super Mario Galaxy 2 was set up is it's kind of reminiscent of the old Super Mario games, where instead of going to different parts of the world and entering levels that way, it's the classic map. Like in Super Mario 3, like that.
Super Mario 3.
Yeah, but then each world that has like one or two or three levels. Subworlds, yes. You have the boss at the end of each world.
Basically.
The way, you know, games should be. Because, you know, when we were kids, that's how they all were.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like, and it looks like every other level, you do get to fight Bowser, but it's a different thing he does each time. Like, in the first time you face him, you use, like, meteorites to try to defeat him.
I don't know. They do a lot with Mario. I'd love to see more Donkey Kong.
You know, we haven't had a real Donkey Kong adventure since Donkey Kong 64. And I don't count Donkey Kong Jungle Beat.
No, I used to play it for PlayStation way back when.
That's impossible, because Donkey Kong is a Nintendo...
basis.
Is that what that was?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, but they used to have to... Sega.
Nope.
You sure?
Positive. That'd be Super Nintendo with Donkey Kong Country.
Nah, maybe that's what it was. I can't. That was a long time ago.
But with this one, I like how you got a couple of other cool things to compete with the original Super Mario Galaxy. One of the things is you get to control Yoshi in a few of the levels, and the other thing is you get to control Luigi. And having Luigi is sometimes a good benefit because he jumps higher and can reach stuff quicker.
He's skinnier.
Yeah, he even does a little bit of that. Remember Super Mario Bros. 2 when he would jump, he would do that.
Yeah, the flying.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah, he does that. But I find that with playing Luigi, the one thing you got to be careful is when he runs, when you stop running, he doesn't stop automatically. So if you're nearer an edge. Stop a
fuck.
Yeah.
Stop about 20 feet beforehand.
Pretty much.
For all them drunk assholes.
But the graphics in Super Mario Galaxy 2 are unbelievable.
You know, like, that's the thing. You played the first one, correct?
Yes.
Now, has that stepped up from the first one to the second?
A little bit.
A little bit, like, very little.
Very little.
Now, the one question I'm having is I know that there's a setup where you can actually plug in from the actual, Wii to your TV, if you have high def, I wonder if that actually makes a difference, but I actually talked to somebody and they were like, I don't see a difference, fuck that, it just doesn't make no difference.
Okay.
So, but with that, I'm hoping that if they come out with another Wii setup or a Nintendo setup, that it's going to have way more graphics in that.
Well, they said the next one is going to be HD.
They really need to step up the graphics, man.
But I feel with Super Mario Galaxy 2, the way the graphics look for this,
yeah,
it actually competes very well with PS3 and Xbox 360. Like, this is one gorgeous game. And I haven't played yet, like, a gorgeous-looking game for PS3 or 360 that has the appearance that Super Mario Galaxy 2 has.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems like, I love my Xbox.
Yeah, and I love my Wii, I love my PS3, but I haven't yet seen a PS3 game that captures the beauty that the Super Mario Galaxy 2 has.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, you guys can love your video games. I love my books.
What books?
I read.
No, you don't. You fucking liar.
Hey, you guys play video games, I read a book.
Yeah, until UFC 2010 Undisputed comes on to play.
Hey, what's a book?
I don't have a video game system at home.
Well, we're working on that.
Yeah, but all in all, I did a much thorough review for Super Mario Galaxy 2 for the upcoming magazine. It'd probably be like an issue two. Two thumbs up for this game because it's just so much fun and it's gorgeous. The soundtrack is great. Like, Nobuo Uematsu made a good point when I was interviewing him in that press interview, where the music in Super Mario always makes you happy, no matter what. And listening to the soundtrack in Super Mario Galaxy 2, I get goosebumps at some of the parts.
I don't know. When you died, I always feel depressed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
Well.
No, it was like, do-do-do-do-do-do, boom-boom.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh darn it, I gotta start from the next part.
Well, I mean, it depends on which one it was. I haven't played it in a long time, so.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. The one thing I'm surprised that they didn't do for it was use the Wii Motion Plus. But, you know, it's almost automatic anyway with this game. So I guess it wasn't really needed.
Yeah, I guess it was, and they were able to actually calibrate it correctly.
Mm-hmm. So you two have played the full version of UFC Undisputed 2010.
Allegedly.
Finally. I said finally, bastard.
I said allegedly.
Yeah, well, then you're wrong, because we were playing it yesterday.
Yes, but, you know, just in case.
You're fucking lying. There's no just in case. We were playing it.
I didn't say just in case, I said allegedly.
Alright, well, whatever. So yeah, playing the new UFC, yeah, UPS, no, I'm just kidding. Mm-hmm. UFC 2010 Undisputed, it definitely has been revamped.
To a new level of awesome.
To very sexy. Because, well, we started off going through, like, all the other, like, little side games before we created our career modes, more or less. But they have stepped up the whole thing where you're actually able to play some serious classic fights. Well, some aren't that great. But it does have a setup where you play the fights, and you have to do specific things in the fight in order to alter the history. You just can't knock the motherfucker out, which I did.
I did, too.
So, more or less with that thing, you know, it definitely gives you an awesome view of it, especially the actual ring girls, because they introduce the videos. And you're able to watch the videos. You know, yes, you can skip them, but you can actually watch the videos and find out what the actual background of these fights were. Because it kind of gets tired, so not to be like, yep, on to your next fight. Well, can I get a fucking background story of why these guys are really good, or how they kind of became a clashing fight to begin with that made it such a classic?
Yeah, because, I mean, I know the two ring girls that they have was Ariane Celeste and Chantel Powell.
Giggity, giggity, giggity.
And they'll go through, Dana White talks on it, and instead of, like, the whole commercialistic person, it's them really in real life. They'll actually show, like, Chuck Liddell talking about his fight with somebody and everything. So, instead of it all being video game stuff like we used to, they actually showed some real live stuff.
It's not bad.
No. And then, after that, we went on to Create a Fighter.
Yay! And
you were able to choose hair color, voices,
finally,
tattoos.
For fuck's sake, because the last game was just so impossible to create the character the way you wanted to. Basically, Anvil here and I, we sat there and we tried to create the most different guys that we possibly could, and they both ended up almost looking in the exact same way, especially with the facial features, the skin tone, everything. This game, we have it set up where he's got green hair with spikes on it, and a single tattoo on his back and a scar across his stomach, which they've done a fucking fabulous job on the scar marks. Hell, it was fucking cool because the fact is I created my guy to have blue hair with a mohawk, blue beard with the 5 o'clock shadow, along with
scar over the eye.
Yeah, the scar over the eye cuts into the eyebrows.
A shamrock underneath the right eye.
Yeah, because more or less they fucked us again on the whole Irish flag thing, dude. We gotta get an Irish fucking fighter, man. We gotta get an Irish fighter in the UFC. But anyways, back to what else they did. I did some serious tattoos on the body, like put one on the back, put one on the arm, like the tops of the arms, the legs,
the ribs,
oh,
barcode on the back,
and the barcode on the back of the neck. I fucking love that thing. But yeah, it's definitely a whole step up in the setting that you're able to do. I mean, you were able to do the tattoos and stuff like that. That was all right, but it seemed like this was more impressive. It had a little bit more of a majority, even some of the old tattoos from the thing. They did change a lot of the name setup. You were actually able to speak, like, not speak, but they created a voice setup that you could do, so it gave you that actual reality into the actual game, like, when you started out in the locker room. You can explain that.
Well, even in this time, like, not only could you talk to, like, Dana White and stuff, but, like, before, after a match, you'd be standing there, the guy would have a shirt on, a hat and everything, you'd have just fight shorts. This one, you chose what shirts this guy wore, or if you wore a hoodie, or what kind of
hat. A beanie, or what, yeah, I picked out a sweet-ass beanie and stuff like that, so every time you won, I popped it on, and bingo. And then also, you were able to pick how the fight, how he celebrated, how he won, how, you know, everything.
How he entered, everything.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
Along with that, they actually did an advancement on how to do the fights. The fights, you know, were pretty intense. The controls actually are a little bit more responsive than it was in 2009. I could say that. I don't know about you, Anvil.
Yeah. The thing that I found to be the coolest part of it, it happened twice to me yesterday while fighting. One against our friend Shamrat, and then once, you know, when I was fighting the computer, I was punching the guy, and they stopped the fight to have a doctor take a look at the guy's injury.
Because the guy was bleeding profusely out of, like, the actual, like, eyebrow and head.
That's
and stuff.
Nuts that they can do this in this video game.
Because they did. Well, I actually do have a complaint against how the blood splatter is now, because it seemed that a lot of the times when you actually were doing the ground and pound stuff, the blood would end up on the same part of the damn shoulder, and it seemed like that was able to easily replicate, not actual blood all over the place, saying if the guy was on top of you, coming down on you, and he was bleeding, and you'd get blood on your body that way too. But I felt that also when it hit the actual canvas, it didn't do a good job on that part. I have a problem with that, but with the reality of like how the skin tones look and how the actual like sweat coming off the body, the actual parts after the fact that when you finally knock somebody out, they play the replay in three different setups where it would be the actual video that you saw personally when you're fighting. Then the second one is the video from above, and then the third one is from like the vantage point of, or actually point of view of when the person gets hit in the face or knocked down or knocked the fuck out.
It's almost like the referee was watching.
Yeah, it's actually like the referee cam. It's pretty fucking badass. I like that setup. They did a really great fucking job with it. I'm really impressed with this game. What else can we put onto that? Well, you know what? Why don't you talk about the actual, like, the going in and doing the fight things. Working with Chuck Liddell.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, during career mode, not only do you get a chance to lift and, you know, do your cardio and everything.
And your strength, and your speed, your stamina, yeah. All that other fun shit.
But, you know, back in the first one, yeah. Depending on which fight style you chose, you could do all those moves. This one, you start off with your basic moves, and you actually have to go to another gym and learn. Like, I went to the pit, I know Chuck Liddell's from, because I went to learn the head kick. And the over the head hook shot. So basically what happened from there is Chuck Liddell teaches me and everything, and I have to fight him, and you get certain points towards learning that move. You don't just get it, you actually have to earn it. You have to fight Chuck Liddell and earn points against him, or fight against Leandro Machida, or, you know, you have to watch the guy moving the pads and hit the pads, you know, a certain amount of times or something. So you actually have to earn, like, a head kick, a better punch. You don't just get them. You have to earn them as a fighter like you normally would. You don't just sit there and say, well, I'm going to kick somebody in the head now. Dink, you have to train for it.
Yeah, I had too much fun with that because 2009, I was just like, okay, because Anvil picked, you picked Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu because that's your grappling setup. And then you also picked Muay Thai.
Yeah.
And Muay Thai, you can't kick as high. When I did kickboxing, I was kicking the motherfuckers in the head so hard. It was hilarious to watch them go down.
Yeah.
But in this game, you actually, like, that was the thing I was saying to you. I was like, when I was watching you do it, I was like, dude, well, I wasn't really fully paying attention, but dude, why don't you kick with the left fucking leg? You know, blah, 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 kick with the left leg, literally. He's like, no, dude, I have to work with the right leg only.
Because I haven't trained myself to kick in that move yet with the left leg. You only learn one, you know, leg at a time or one arm at a time. So I like the way they did it, and I think UFC Undisputed 2011 will be 100 times better.
Now, the one thing that I have to suggest towards the 2011, let's not fucking make the one, like, leg kick or the one fucking punch kick. Make it a day or two or something like that. Not a whole fucking week to, you know, make it, like, professional. I think you could survive maybe one or two days to actually do that setup instead of, like, having to wait a fucking week to learn it.
Okay, now what are your thoughts on the limiting of the online play, as in one code per game, like one code per player?
What are you talking about?
Well, when you have UFC Undisputed 2010, you can play online, but you need a special code that comes with the game.
No, actually, I don't think that's true. I think you have to go through the actual online setup to actually get that code. You have to sign up. More or less, it's kind of like almost like you're signing up for an actual fight thing.
Oh,
so it's you know, it's kind of interesting in that sense. It's definitely strange, but we didn't get to touch the online aspect of it yet. I don't know if I will, because I'm having way too much fun with the actual game.
Yeah,
okay. I mean, I think more or less the online part is the aftermath of getting so good that you're able to go online and be able to fuck somebody up. And, I mean, that's when you get those good fights. Like, last night, Anvil and Shamrat were playing, and I got to jump in one or two times, but they were picking up the massive fights. Like, let's take, what was it?
We did Brock Lesnar versus Shane Carwin.
You did Rich, what's his name?
I know, we did...
You did a bunch of different names and stuff like that, but it was really good to actually watch each other because Shamrat had his own fighting style, which was to spare people and get them on the ground and beat the fuck out of them. Where Anvil is a stand-up fighter and likes to beat the shit out of you standing up. So,
I mean, when it comes to cage training, that's how I really...
Yeah, exactly. I think more or less in life, you know, like with that setup, it's great to bring the person down to the ground, but it can get really fucking boring if you're rolling around looking like you're having sex on the fucking thing.
Yep.
But seeing that King here likes to go, oh yeah,
this
oh yeah. Yes, let's do the missionary this time. Maybe doggy style. Oh, look, 69.
Hey, it wasn't my fault while we were watching the pay-per-view that they were doing those positions. They got
yes,
a little bit
too... Yes, it is. It's all your fault. It's all your fucking fault.
We paid them off to do it. Just, you know, just to mess with you, man.
And it was funny when I had the Homer Simpson sound effects playing in the background.
Oh, Lord.
I had to take it away from you. I had to. I'm sorry.
All we heard during knockouts and everything was Homer Simpson.
And then fucking, what is it, Benny Hill fucking music playing in the background. I was like, dude, what the fuck? There was only one time that I think that actually worked, and then that was it.
Yeah.
And then he tried to push it a little bit too much.
I feel it's better with the luge.
Yes. Yeah.
But, do you have any more things to say about this game? Because it's just that, it's really good. It gets to the point where you have to just play it. You can't really talk about it anymore. You have to really get into the goddamn game.
So what do you think about it, Mr. Blue?
I say two fucking thumbs way the fuck up.
I do have to concur.
Yeah. It seems like one of those games, and we're going to drag King Baby Duck over to the
yeah, I'm going to create my own character.
And we're going to beat the shit out of him. We're going to teach him how to play.
Yeah.
He's going to create his own personal duck, and he's going to fight as a duck. Well, that'd be awesome if we could fight as a duck.
Get like a yellow fucking, like, get him a yellow mohawk.
No, like, get like one of those, like a white... Like, come down the ring wearing, like, a white hoodie.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's possible, because you're able to actually have different clothing setups. That's how good they did this game.
It'll make him so pale that his skin looks white. He looks,
I'm already as pale as can be.
No, well, I try to make myself as pale as possible. Remember that? I look like a fucking ghost.
You look like powder.
Yes, I look like powder, definitely. But with blue hair.
Powder blue.
Yeah, powder blue.
All right. Let's see, we've got a little bit more time.
Not much.
I tried out the demo for the PSN download title, Planet Mini Golf. And this demo had one 9-hole course open to try out, and it had kind of like a setup where, like, the first three holes were easy, the second three holes were medium, and the final three holes were difficult. And it had sort of like a Pirate's Cove. Have you ever been to Pirate's Cove up in New Hampshire?
Yes.
That sort of setup right there.
Awesome. That place I used to love as a kid.
I found the controls of this game easy to aim the ball, but a little bit difficult when it comes to the sensitivity of the analog stick when it comes to hitting it. Because what you had to do was maybe a bit in the vein of the Tiger Woods game. You know, pull back from it and then flick it that way in order to hit the ball. And I'm still having a little bit of issue with that because I'm still used to pressing the button, waiting for the line to go at the moment that you want it to go, and then down at the moment you want it to go. And I'm still trying to get used to that. And plus, with playing golf on the Wii, it's a lot easier as well.
Well, it's a lot easier because, in a sense, you just have to move your arms back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
This one is like, move joystick back, move joystick forward. Make sure you don't do too hard, otherwise you're going over on the other side of the green.
Now, the graphics for this game, for a downloadable title, they were pretty good.
For like, what system? PS3?
PS3?
Yeah.
I felt that these were actually better graphics than the recent Tiger Woods game.
Yeah, because the Tiger Woods game didn't look too fucking impressive to me.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods didn't even look like Tiger Woods. He looked like Tim Meadows.
A burnt victim version of Tim Meadows.
Yeah, that's true.
Freddy Krueger and
Tim Meadows had a baby.
And you know what? The demo was pretty fun, but you kind of get that whole real world setting when you get frustrated when the ball doesn't go in. Like when you tap it in and it looks like it's going to go in, but then it just goes around inside the hole and out again. And then you want to do that whole Happy Gilmore thing. I was like, that ball is your hole!
Otherwise the hole's, you suck, you stupid clown! And then just start wailing on shit.
See, I hate when, you know, you get the ball in the hole and runs the rim and pops out.
Yeah, because that happened to me a couple times. But I do like the little power-ups in this game. Like, if you get the right power-up and you press a button, like, there's a a speed boost, or one of my favorites is the ball magnet.
Oh, nice.
So if it's at a correct distance and you press the button, the ball just goes right into the hole.
Oh, so it's like Mega Fox, a ball magnet.
There actually used to be a game that I remember that was so much fun. It was just a PC game. Some shitty little company made it, and it had a setup like that where you could actually, you know, hit golf.
Was it Outlaw Golf?
No. Way back in the day, like when finally the laptops were like really coming out with good setups with like Windows XP, probably maybe even before that. But that whole, like, it was a fun little game. It had a setup where you could actually do, you could actually turn the ball into, like, a firing, flaming ball when you hit it. You could actually get it to blow up on certain things. It was really fucking weird, but it was hilarious to play. But
when the speed boost, the golf ball turns into a little bomb, and then when you press it, it just goes boom.
Then you could jokingly do it to somebody else and make them do a worm burner, which is when they fucking hit the ball and it just slides on the ground really far, but it doesn't go anywhere really. Hilarious.
That would be fun to do to Tiger Woods.
Yeah, it would. It would have its fun parts, but alright, you were saying?
My final thoughts on this demo, inspired of the control scheme, it was a pretty damn good demo. Mm-hmm. And I might actually consider downloading the full version.
Sweet.
So, I give it a thumb up, but for the control scheme, because I'm still getting used to it, the other thumb sideways.
Yeah. Alright, so, that's... we good? We done?
I think so.
Alright, well done. We'll push Saboteur to next weekend, because then you got to play it.
And yes, that's a good point, because I just bought it for the PS3.
Yes, because I was able to play it for Xbox 360.
And I hope that little booby code actually works.
And yes. I bought the game...
No, he didn't.
For reading books.
He bought it for the booklets.
So,
you mean you bought the gaming guide?
Yes.
Hey,
like
$3 and it was about huge.
Hey, my game cost $17. Ha ha.
Yes, but your boobies in the game disappear. They have a whole bunch of boobies in my book. Hey, I'm sorry, I got the wrong book. I got the new Playboy.
Okay, so remember, check out our website at BostonBashBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, comments, past podcast episodes, and some other good shit that you might like.
We're also on MySpace.com/BostonBashBrigade. Hit us up sometime. We only had 400 views. Give me some more views, you fucking hookers.
Although, I'm really, really happy with the actual B3 website. We got over 3,300 people visiting it last week.
Fuck yeah! And then, along with that, we also have a Facebook group, but we don't have an actual Facebook page. We're going to have to work on that.
Yeah.
We're going to have to go crack some fucking skulls at Facebook.
Asterisk. Use an asterisk for bastard. See if that works.
Yeah, okay, because most of the times they're like, you cannot use this, this, and this, and it kind of kills us. But don't worry, I'll figure out a way.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
And don't forget our sisters at the Electric Sisterhood at esh.mobi. And then there's the other group.
Geek Aggro!
Sorry. You guys, I will eventually remember your name. Don't beat me up yet.
But they're geeks! No, I'm just kidding. They don't like to use violence unless in video games.
Whoa. Oh, wait, they're geeks? Oh, if they were nerds, I'd be, you know, I'd have to worry because Revenge of the Nerds, man.
Dude, we'd be fucked. We might get Ogre after us.
Ooh.
Who?
Ogre?
Ogre?
You don't remember Ogre? He used to be the jock.
Oh, him.
And he transferred.
And don't forget, you know, we're still asking you guys to head over to help us raise some money for the North Shore Cancer Walk coming up on June 20th. The group of us will be doing it. You can catch us at, what is it for the Stampede?
Oh, that's right. Thank you. I got the address right here. We're going to be on Friday, June 11th, our buddies the Stampede are going to be performing with Future Islands and Big Digits at the Brookline Public Access Station, 49 Tappan Street in Brookline, Massachusetts. It's going to be on the top floor, too.
So you can find us there, or you can catch us at the next Totally Inappropriate concert, June 19th, at John Brewer's Tavern in Everett.
Mm-hmm.
So please come out, show us some support, and... the 20th, we'll be out there walking. Hopefully, we can raise a good amount of money for this good cause.
Yeah, yes. I started walking recently just to get my ass in shape, and I know I need one thing: new fucking shoes.
Well, see, for those who don't know, Blue is he goes around on a hover round.
Yeah,
he finally stood up and took three steps and then fell back into it.
I can't believe I made it to the fucking, you know,
Lynn Woods.
Yeah, you know, I made it to Lynn Woods, but I made it to Stone Tower. And the funny thing about that was, the hover around car made up that goddamn hill so I could stand up and do the little three steps and touch it, then sit back down. Boy, was that fun going down that fucking hill. It was almost like back in the days when I used to snowboard. I fucking drifted that motherfucker down the hill.
Well, I think the sound of thunder means it's time for us to go.
Oh, you bastards! Or run away from the fucking thunder and lightning and tornado warnings.
Yeah, I think we should still go in the pool out there.
Yeah, okay. Right. I feel like getting shot.
First one to die loses.
That's it!
Jim! So until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
And it's Block!
This is Daniel.
Saying sayonara, bitches.
We are
the Bastards!
Furry wall.
I think I'm having a heart attack.